Say this with me. Be light, give hope, demonstrate God's power, celebrate God's presence. What a powerful weekend we had last week. And someone could have said amen right there. What a powerful, powerful, powerful weekend. If you missed it, we did post the audio files on Dream Team, and we're going to have them up on the website in the next couple of days, because it's important for you to hear what the Lord did. It's important for you to hear, because I really believe that last weekend, we were setting a memorial stone for what he's doing in this house. See, there was a time when the Israelites crossed the Jordan as they were heading to the promised land, which actually God wasn't trying to lead them to the promised land. He was trying to lead them to the promiser. But it just so happens that he had a land for them as well. Sometimes we get our eyes on something else rather than him. And just like the Red Sea had been parted, the Jordan was parted. And God told them to go take stones, one for each one of the 12 tribes, out of this river where the water had parted, and make a memorial. There's other times where that's happened with Jacob and the vision and the ladder, angels coming up and going down and sleeping on a rock like a pillow, and then taking that rock and setting it as a memorial that God's in this place and calling it Bethel. There's other times. There's times in the New Testament. There's a time in the New Testament where the Bible talks about how God's going to take his law, his word, his heart, and write it on our heart, not on tablets of stone. I believe last week that we set with our hearts, not with stones, a memorial stone written on our hearts for what God's doing in this house. I believe that. It was so, so powerful. And I'm thankful to Pastor Grant and Tabitha for all that they did to get that going. And also for Robert coming and speaking and Grant speaking, and then all the other volunteers, because it took a lot of people. Everyone stepped up. It was so amazing how that worked. And so, yeah, I think that's good. Healings, we have people healed. We have people set free. It's incredible. Come tonight and let's talk about it. We're going to talk about all those things. I've got a couple of things that I want to share I feel like the Lord gave me. And it started at that conference. First thing, God is calling us to deeper. The Bible talks about deep calling deep. He is calling us to deeper. And he said this to me. He said he's calling us from snorkeling to deep sea. And I thought about that. I had all kinds of object lessons I was going to try to do today. And he said, no, don't do that. I have one object lesson, but it's not me doing it. It's Jesus did it. I'm going to tell you about it in a minute. But can you imagine having all the aqua gear on with the tanks and the mask and the hoses and the thing in your mouth and swimming around in a little 6-inch plastic pool? That doesn't make any sense. That's not the gear you need for that. But God is saying to us, he's saying to me that he's calling me deeper. And I've always wanted to go scuba diving. I never have done it because you have to certify or something crazy like that. Just so you don't die. And I thought that would be so cool to do that. So I thought that's a great word, Lord. Thank you. I received that. And then he reminded me of snuba. You ever heard of snuba? You can go to these resorts, go to Florida, go to the Caribbean, go somewhere, and they have what do they call them? Excursions that you can go do. And sometimes one of those is snuba. And that might be in a little lagoon or a place that's controlled, a controlled environment. And what you do is you put on this helmet big helmet, and your whole head goes inside of it, and I think they may weight you down, and you have air hoses going to it, and so you can just start walking in, and you walk down, maybe not very deep. It's not like full scuba gear. You don't have to be certified or anything. You're probably hanging on to a tether like in preschool, right behind each other, and you're looking at fish and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. So you mean we don't have to have scuba gear, right? And I thought, this is cool, God. I like that. And then he said, no, I want you to take it all off. You're relying on too many things. I need you to rely on me. Hey, I'm just giving you what he gave me. And I thought, well, what does that mean? He said, you're new creatures. I want to take you places that you can't breathe on your own, but I'll be your breath. I will fill your lungs with me. Now, I'm not telling anybody to go hop in the lake and try to breathe, but I am calling you to deeper. He's calling you to deeper. He's calling me to deeper, and I'm inviting you to come along. Y'all receive that? We set up Memorial Stone. We are new creations. And we're able to breathe him more deeply than we thought. And he's calling us deeper. The great thing about all that is he's calling us, not me. And the other great thing about that is it's not up to you to figure out how that works. Pastor Grant had a word here a while back about coming and feeling like we have to understand and know everything. And we don't. We just need to come and dine in his presence, take his presence. Be a part of what he's doing. Just like we learned last week with the Holy Spirit being in us and the Holy Spirit being on us for others. You can't figure that out. You just have to receive it. You just have to receive it and apply it and participate. Okay? Here's another thing he gave me. Is this okay if I just give you some stuff? I mean, if I got to grow some Holy Ghost gills, I'll do it. I'm all up for it. Right? Here's another thing. This is weird. I wrote it down. I wrote mouth to mouth. When I was a little boy, young boy, junior high boy, I had a friend live down on a farm. They had a pond. We took a water hose. We put weights on our feet. We took a water hose, and he put one in his mouth. I put one in my mouth. One of us took a deep breath, the other one let all their air out, and we started breathing, and we walked all the way across that pond using that same breath. Now, it took multiple times because we would start laughing. And the one who didn't have the breath was dying because he'd laugh and blow out all the air. It's like, no! That was my friend. Mouth to mouth. God is saying he wants to move us from mouth-to-mouth resuscitation to the point that we are an oxygenator of his presence. That when we come into a room, it begins to emanate from us. And those who couldn't breathe, they were under so much constraint, could all of a sudden breathe again. We've practiced far too much mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And it's time for plain old anointing flowing, not because we made it happen, but because God is on the scene, right? And I also wrote this down. God is waiting on our participation. God is waiting on our, and that's been a word as well that's come. You know, that I think it was Kathy had a word. Was it you, Kathy? Somebody had a word about Jesus standing. We're at a battlefield, and he was there. It was a vision that someone had, and he's there, and we're like, go get him, Jesus. And he's like, no, come with me. Get on my horse. Who was that? Was that you? Robert. It was Robert. God is waiting on our participation. I have to tell you this morning, he's still waiting on our participation. He's waiting on our participation on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. I know some people say Thursday. and Friday and Saturday, as well as Sunday. That's what his anointing is for. 24/7. We live such compartmental lives. God is calling us to full-time. Come out of part-time Christianity and become full-time. And then he told me this. Remember the cocoon. You know, the caterpillar makes a cocoon. I actually watched a video this week of a moth that was a caterpillar that shed like 5 or 6 times. And every time it shed, it was different colors. It was bigger. And it just kept shedding. It kept going through this process till finally it made its own little cocoon and then came out of that as a full-blown moth. Kind of like a butterfly, right? He said, remember the cocoon. Some of you have been in the cocoon far too long. And you're waiting on him to open the cocoon. And it's not his job. His job was the transformation. Your job is to break out, participate in what he's doing. I read a prophetic word, actually, that was from, I think it might have been Cindy Jacobs. And man, it was spot on. I'm not gonna read it for you today. I don't know if it was on her blog or what, but I read it. And it was so spot on that we're in a partnership with the grace of God. We're in a partnership. And the great thing is, it's not my strength coupled with his strength, it's his strength. All the way, and I'm saying, yes, I will partner with that. Because Holy Spirit lives in me. He lives in me fully. He lives in you fully. You didn't get part of him. You got all of him. Everything he is. Everything he represents. Jesus said, I got to go, but it's going to be better because I'm going to give you everything I am inside of you. But you got to participate. Sounds kind of ironic, doesn't it? But it's not. Then he said, take off your mask. That hit me hard because I'm a masker. I use humor. I use a lot of things as a mask. He said, take off your mask. All of them. You need to be vulnerable with somebody. It may be your spouse. Maybe you haven't been vulnerable to them for a long time. Maybe somebody here. But take off your mask. You don't need it anymore. You don't have to hide. Take it off. And he reminded me of the Russian dolls. Remember the Russian dolls? You open it up, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, and then there's another one, and there's another one. No, I don't want to. Don't open it all the way up, because then everybody will see I'm just a little bitty nothing. No, take off your mask and see that you are a great big something that he created and created for a purpose such as this. And then finally, he gave me this. We have this. Be light, give hope, demonstrate God's power, celebrate God's presence. Listen to this. Well, first of all, let me say this. I was so grieved yesterday about El Paso. I was grieved before that about the California thing. I think, let me put it that way, we have become so numb to these things that it's just another one. But I want you to know this. You'll think differently when you walk into a Walmart. You will. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants. He is the master distractor. And he is trying to use fear and intimidation on a world that eats it up. We love it. Our flesh loves it. I was so grieved. I was so grieved. I didn't even know if I could even speak today. It just really affected me. And like an idiot, I had it on the TV and just watching it over and over and over, where I'd seen everything, heard everything they said a couple times now. But I want you to know this. This world needs Jesus. This world needs a people who know who they are, who know whose they are, and is willing to let Holy Spirit not just be in us, but be upon us for them. But if we can't do it in here, how are we going to do it out there? I hate to tell you, but it starts here. I'm going to read scripture from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11 from the New American Standard. It's not on the screen. You're going to have to break out your Bible, your phone, take a note. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of man, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now here's the thing. This is the truth. And it's going to be acted out, participated in, established, and spread through the earth through his church, through his people. Jesus gave us an example. And a very important one, too. I'm going to read another verse section, and I'm going to close with this. Believe that? It's true. This is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Chapter 17 of John is one of my favorite passages for whatever, of the Gospels at least, right? I mean, the whole Bible's my favorite, but chapter 17, Jesus prayed, and he prayed for me, and I receive his prayer. You can go look. Go read 17. He's praying for you. He prays directly for you and I. But in 13, verse 1, I'm going to be reading probably that whole chapter. Now, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that. He loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hand. This is the night of all nights, the night before he's going to be crucified. He's going to pay the ultimate price. The night when one of his own inner circle is going to betray him. The night he had longed and waited for this night to spend with his disciples. And on that night, he knew who he was. And he knew where he was going. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from supper and he laid aside his garments and taking a towel, he girded himself. Do you know that Jesus got up from his throne in heaven, laid aside his divinity of royalty in heaven in order to come here to this earth? What king gives up glory? What king gives up majesty? What creator of all things gives it all up? And then comes as a baby. Just like this baby right here. Just like the babies we have in here all the time. We love babies here, by the way. If they upset you because they make a little bit of noise, maybe you need to go out there and watch it on that screen. Just saying. He laid aside his garments, and taking up a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. I'm not going to do a whole thing on the whole foot washing situation and who was supposed to do that, who was supposed to, you know, there's usually someone who's supposed, obviously the feet didn't get washed. Think about this. This is the night, man. And he's going to wash your feet. Some of them just let him, but he came to Peter. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, Peter did, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. We live in a world that's bucking against the Jesus. It's calling out and crying out to their heart. Holy Spirit just speaking to them. And they're saying, never will you do that. They are. And God just keeps knocking, keeps coming. He says, okay, I'll send Grant. You go knock. I'll send Robert. You go knock. All right, Kelly, it's your turn. You go knock. Jesus said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And Simon Peter had a change of heart, said to him, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. He was a all or nothing kind of guy, man. Do it all. And Jesus said to him, he who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason, he said, not all of you are clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and reclined at the table again, he said to them. So you go, what does that mean? He's got to wash our feet. But not, you know what? You may be saved. I hope you are. I hope you've made a decision to follow Christ. I hope you have invited him into your life. Because if you have, he has sent Holy Spirit to live inside of you. You don't have to. I know we have a baptism of the Holy Spirit where we give him greater access to us and we yield to him and we can get in a bunch of semantics about what that all means. But Holy Spirit lives in you. If you're a born again believer, he lives in you. That is part of your new creation. You're not the same because Holy Spirit is now on the scene speaking to your spirit. But you know that we still need to be revived. We still need to have forgiveness because, well, we sin. We make mistakes. And so there is something about this continual washing of the Word of God, this continual exposure to his presence, whether we're corporate or we're at home. The presence of God is so important. Just like this, I think Grant said it last week. If we were on an island, God could still minister to us there if we were on an island alone. But there is power in the corporate anointing of people coming together. Unfortunately, we're the only army that shoots its wounded. It ought not be that way. So when he washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. So I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Some people have taken this and made it a sacrament. We need to wash feet. Let's wash some feet. We get saved. We have baptism. And now we're going to wash feet. I'm not against washing somebody's feet, but he wasn't trying to institute a sacrament. He was actually instituting a covenant, not based on the Mosaic law of love your brother as yourself. We know Jesus said there is two commandments, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, which really is a Mosaic law type. He summed all that law up, but this is different. This is a covenant of grace. Of grace towards other people, grace towards other believers, because he's actually talking about believers. See, how can we be at odds with one another here and go out there and say, Holy Spirit, be upon me and reach these people when here I don't like you, so I don't treat you well. I really do like you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is no greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. There's a story of the farmer who had a mule. Might have been a donkey. I don't know. They're the same to me. Walking him down the road, and the mule just stopped. Not moving. And he yelled at that mule. The mule's name was Randy, by the way. He yelled at that mule. He yelled. He pulled. He tugged. He screamed at it. He even slapped it on the hiney a couple of times. Wouldn't move. Another farmer's coming down the road, and he sees this going on, and he's kind of sizing up the situation. He says, do you need some help? He says, I sure could sure use some help, but I don't think it's going to do any good because he's just decided he's not going to move. So that farmer looked at the mule, walked over to the side of the road and picked up a limb from a tree and whacked that sucker right between the eyes with that stick. And then in a very calm, monotone voice, he said, come with me. And the mule went. And the guy said, what? Man, I screamed at the top of my lungs. And that thing wouldn't move. He says, yeah, but I got his attention. Jesus was trying to get the disciples' attention by washing their feet. He wasn't saying, now we need to go wash our feet. He was trying to show them, and not just in humility either. He wasn't just giving us an example of humility. He was giving us an object lesson of who we are as his people, who we are as his disciples, that we are to, well, I'll tell you, we'll read it. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Verse 18, I do not speak, I already said all that. Let's see. From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. And then he talks about his betrayal, and I'm not going to go into all that, but he says, now, in verse 31, therefore, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, now, and as I say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. God's calling us to a deeper level of love here and out there. But it starts here. It really does. I was so blessed a couple of weeks ago. My wife's mother had another stroke. A year and a half ago, she had a stroke. She had another stroke recently. And it's required the siblings to take rotation to be with her at home. And so she goes and is gone for a week and then comes back, and I'm a wreck while she's gone. And she came back last night, and I'm so glad you're home, buddy, baby. But recently, we've just had other things. I don't know if you guys had a post-conference week or not, but we did. Okay, you have a really strong move of the Holy Spirit, and then the devil just tries to pull out all the big guns. And so I just went to my big daddy and said, it's yours. I give it to you. My trials, all these things, whatever you're revealing in me, I'll take my weakness and make it your strength. Your strength comes through in my weakness, right? And so our pastoral team came over to the house, wanted to pray for us. It's been a couple weeks. And in the middle of our prayer, they went over to my wife. Tabitha did, I think it was. Took her shoes off and washed her feet. Touched me deeply. We know they love us. I know you love me. I don't know if you know how much I love you. And I certainly know this world doesn't know how much we love one another. But it's important that we follow his example, that we receive what he is saying to us here. By this, they will know you are my disciples, by your love one for another. Are you a disciple? Are you? And participate. Do you not feel loved? Then be vulnerable. Take off your mask and let somebody love you. You see, if you don't tell us, or if Holy Spirit doesn't tell us, then we don't know. It's like the person that said, yeah, I was in the hospital. Nobody come to see me. No one knew you were in the hospital. Now, I've had times when the Lord will lay on my heart to pray for someone. I was talking with a woman today. And I asked, did you get my message? She says, no, I didn't. I said, well, I'm sorry. It's on my heart. How many times do that happen to you and you don't do anything with it? When all you have to do is pick up a phone and call or send a text or go by and see somebody. Listen, this world needs Jesus. And you're it. As a matter of fact, Jesus is God's only sermon. He's it. And he said, greater things shall you do than I do. I'm going to go. You're in charge, Marge. Actually, he's in charge through us, right? And my final point. I actually have points. You doing all right? Doing all right with no screen? Final point. Be light, give hope, demonstrate God's power, celebrate God's presence in the light of everything. He's the light of everything. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of light. In the light of everything, I am hopeful. Guys, we got to quit being down. We got to quit being, oh, woe is me. You know, I was at a Mama Ruth's birthday thing yesterday at a clubhouse, and I think it was her son, who is a minister. Is that correct? Someone help me out. And he come over to me. I was sitting with Dina and Tessa, and we were talking about unimportant stuff, okay? It was good for us, unimportant. And he comes over, and he says, are you glad to be alive today? Aren't you incredibly anxious and happy that we're one day closer to the Lord's return? And I was convicted in that moment because I don't think I was talking about the Lord. I sat and watched that stuff on TV yesterday and just went down, down, down. I don't think I was being light. Matter of fact, I think it was pretty heavy on me. I know there's a time to grieve and a place to grieve, but in the light of everything, I am hopeful. I am hopeful. I know nothing is impossible for God. There's be hope, be light, give hope, demonstrate God's power. Because he is with me now and forever. Final word. This is the Lord gave this to me. Most people aren't flocking to what they once had. They're searching for what they never had. And we have it. His name is Jesus. We have it. His name is Holy Spirit. We have it. His name is Father God. It's up to you and me. But by this will they know that we're really in tune by our love one for another. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Gave what you gave me. I know you want to do more. We want more. We just don't always know what we want. We think we want this and we want that. We don't always know really what it is that we want. But we want more of you. We know that. We want what you want, or at least we're trying to want what you want. And so I'm asking you, Father, would you retool and retune us? Would you, Father? Would you, Father? Father, Daddy God, would you, by your Holy Spirit, break the shackles off of us that hold us back. Destroy the vain imaginations that we have about who you are and who we are. Would you help us, Father in heaven, with our daddy issues that we have on earth? Because you are not our daddy on earth. You're our heavenly Father, our Abba Father, Daddy, who loves us so much that you sent your Son to show us what you're like. Jesus, you said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, and I don't do anything on my own. It's all from the Father. Father, make us a people that when people see us, they see you. Release in us the Spirit of the living God to the fullness. I pray that every person in here that desires their prayer language would receive it and learn how to pray. Learn a way to pray that is divorced from their mind that holds them back. See, really the only time my mind ever stops going is when I'm praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. We've made it so weird. And it's not. It's God. Father, I pray that as sickness comes to bodies, because we live in a fallen world, that your power and presence comes on the scene. And just as Jesus said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That God, we would see that. That we would lay hands on the sick and we would call out Parkinson's. Is that what it is, brother? Yes, we would call it out and say, no, you may not. We speak the life of Jesus Christ over you. And we say, healing, come. Holy Spirit, come. We curse that in the mighty name of Jesus. And we pray that same thing over Carolyn's dad. And we say, no, you may not. We declare healing, come. We pray that over Kelly's mom with her stroke. So she had a stroke, but you made her body. You made her brain. You're reconnecting things even now. And I lay my hands on Kelly as proxy. And I say, Marie, be healed in Jesus' name for your glory, Father. We receive healing for her. We declare it and we decree it and we ask for it. We ask for it. Jesus, you said in that day, you'll ask nothing of me, but you'll ask my Father in heaven in my name and he will do it. Father God, in Jesus' name, do it. Bring healing. Bring healing. Bring healing. Total and complete. We pray for Donna Cummins. She home, brother? We pray for Donna Cummins and we say, no more. That brain is healed. It's renewed. It's healed. What a testimony. We're so grateful for your testimony, God, in Donna. She has been so faithful and patient. And now we say, God, bring a suddenly. Not weeks, years, a suddenly. Not 1,000 years suddenly, but a suddenly now. Like now suddenly. In Donna Cummins' body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Who else needs prayer for healing in your body? Raise your hand up if you do. Okay, you see these hands up? Someone go to them. Turn around, go to them. Let's call it out. Let's call it out. Here's one right here. Guys, get on this one here. Over there. Come on. Let's be the church. Let's go deep. Healing come. Healing come. God, not for our glory, but for your glory. Father, we're asking you to demonstrate your power here today. Demonstrate your power. Holy Spirit, heal. Bring healing. Sean, do you have your hand up for healing? Okay. Bring healing, God, right now. Everybody we're praying for, right now, we say yes and amen to your promises. Yes and amen. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Now, there are some people here. There are people here. You guys can keep praying. But there are some people here that have been holding on to some situations that have been long term. It might not be healing. It may be somebody else. It may be someone in your family. I don't know. But it's a long term. You've decided it's your thorn. It's just your lot. And God is saying today, no, it's not. No, it's not. Trust and see what I can do. Trust and see what I can do. If that's you, you don't have to come up here, raise your hand or anything. I'm going to pray for you. Father, we determine and declare that those things that seem like they would never change are changing today. Those locks that have been locked forever, it seems like. Those people who have not been receptive. Those that continue to nurse their anguish and are willing to live in it. Father, we call forth a miraculous breakthrough with or without them, with or without their participation, because we are participating now in your kingdom. We call it out. We call out our loved ones that are far from you. We call back the prodigals. We speak to the Gideons and we say, you are a mighty man and woman of valor. And you shall fulfill your destiny. And we bind the enemy and we say, sorry, but no more. No more. Send laborers on your behalf, Lord. Send laborers, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand up and say this together because we're getting ready to walk out of here to do this. They're going to know you're a disciple by your love one for another. And that's not just talking to, do you love the world? That's not, do you love his church? Do you love his body? Say this with me. Be light, give hope, demonstrate God's power, and celebrate God's presence. Let's lift up our hands. Father, I commission us to go and actually do this. Quit saying it and do it. And we can't do it without you. So we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do all of this. And we can't wait to see you do it. We say, yes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.